Welcome, everybody. This is the Matthew Rayburn Show. I'm Matthew Rayburn, and this is my show. Fare thee well, Aretha. I found a cool remix on YouTube. It's really good stuff. Oh, yeah, that's good music right there. Rest in peace, Queen of Soul. No, but seriously, guys, rest in peace, Aretha Franklin. She was always beautiful. She was always amazing. She was always a life giver. She was a conduit of positivity. She was a positive force for good on this earth. And I want to be the same thing. And so when I found out that she passed early in the morning, well, it wasn't early in the morning, I think it was like a late morning, but it started to spread across the news, and it was a big deal because she was always in my home. My mother listened to her, my father listened to her, and it was a big deal. And I'm just I'm thankful for her presence, and Godspeed, Aretha. I know you're probably partying with Jesus right now up there in heaven, and I'm just super thankful for you. I'm thankful for you guys watching. I'm thankful for you listening. If you're wanting to find out what my face looks like, if you're listening, I'm Matthew with two T's, R-A-B-O-R-N. Other than that, you're watching on Facebook Live. This is the Podstars. Hey, Matt, why are you wearing sunglasses? I have a blinding migraine right now, a little bit of double vision. But that's life. I'm dedicated to this project, and I'm dedicated to you, and I wanted to do this. Plus, I wanted to show off my sunglasses. No, that's being silly. No, but seriously, folks, I'm really touched by Aretha and the life that she lived. And so I wanted people to mourn correctly. And so listen to an Aretha Franklin song. Listen to songs like Think, Respect. Chain of Fools. She won 18 Grammys. She was in both the Blues Brothers movies. I was just touched by her presence and in her life, and I was just thankful to know of her. Really, she was just a beacon of light, and I could go on and on. She was amazing. She was born in Memphis, Tennessee. She died today in Detroit, Michigan. She had a lot of family, a lot of love, a lot of churchgoers, she was a beautiful person, and she touched a lot of lives in a positive way, and she should inspire us all to do the same, whether it's through singing, whether it's through art, whether it's through hard work. Just show love to people, just have a big heart like Aretha did. So show respect to the ones around you, just like Aretha did. Godspeed, Aretha Franklin. We love you. The FBI, DEA, and Chicago PD is teaming up with their Mexican counterparts to thwart the cartels here in Chicago to stop the heroin, fentanyl, and the kingpins, frankly. I don't know how many kingpins we have here in Chicago, but I'm glad that they're putting their best foot forward, and they're working together to help stop the violence and to stop all this rampant craziness that's happening here in the city. It's pretty wild. It's about overdue, in my opinion, but I'm glad it's getting done now. I don't agree with the war on drugs, and this is pretty much a symptom of the war on drugs. It's kind of sad because if we legalized all these whatever, you know, heroin and fentanyl, Matt, you want them to be legalized? Well, see, if you legalize, let's just say, all drugs, it needs to be balanced and counterbalanced with a strong moral and ethical background. And if we don't have that, which is not promoted by the man, they don't promote strong family values. They don't promote going to church. They don't promote praying to a higher power. They promote being subservient to the government, subservient to the man, which then exacerbates more slavery, more, you're just subservient to everything that you're going on. Because you got to go, you got to pay your taxes, you got to go, you got the rule, all these rules you got to follow. And then you're trying to have some type of relief by, you know, recreational drugs, whether they be hard drugs or not hard drugs. You may be making a poor choice because you don't have a strong ethical and moral background. So yes, it's your personal responsibility to find this, but if it's not being promoted as a society, it's not going to be that of an obvious option. So I'm here to promote it being an obvious option. So, you know, find some help. Go to church, reach out to your local clergyman, reach out to somebody you respect, reach out to somebody that you love, because it's a problem. It's a really big problem. Drug use is, and I don't promote drug use at all. I don't promote people you know, harming their bodies, whether it be recreationally or not. It's their right to do so because it's their body. And I'm not even saying no harm, no foul, like it's a victimless crime, because there's a ripple effect to everything. You're harming your future children, you're harming your future loved ones, you're harming your current loved ones because you might not be in contact with them because you're doing so many drugs. But my point is, It's gotten to the point where the DEA, the FBI, and the Chicago PD are banding together with Mexican counterparts to thwart the cartels. Because it's just really, I mean, it's a money-making machine. There's a huge market for people doing drugs here in America, and they have some drugs for them to use. And so then they, what I'm upset about is, like, where is this fentanyl and heroin coming from? Isn't it lab-produced? Don't you need to, like, make, quote-unquote, quality, designer drugs in laboratories? And so where's this coming from? Do the cartels have really elaborate labs? Are they getting it from the Chinese? Really? I mean, are they getting it from other enemies? Are they making it themselves? Or is it like a self-making machine? How are they getting these drugs to distribute across America? And the reason that they're choosing Chicago is because we don't have a lot of security in our transportation hubs. Yeah, the airport, but I mean the Greyhound bus areas. There's some cops, and the Union Station. There's some cops, but it's not everywhere. And they're not checking bags. No, I'm not saying we need to check the bags, but I'm saying people might need to create like a profiling system so they know what to look for and what not to look for. That's just a big problem, and I'm sad about it. And I want to know what the solution is. And so they feel that banding together is going to be helping thwart the situation. It might help, but it might not. But I'm glad they're doing something about it. I'm glad that they're fighting it in the ways that they know how. It's just so bad. And it's, so there's gang violence. There's gangs warring over the drugs, warring over the territory to sell the drugs. And it's crazy. And so I'm almost at a loss for words because it's such a heavy subject. So I want people to thrive from the lives they're benefiting. So I'm not promoting drug use, but I'm not promoting being a subservient to the man and having big daddy government wipe your butt all the time. But if you're on drugs, you need help. So reach out to somebody and get some help, because the DEA, is just there to enforce the rules. And sometimes some people say the rules might be draconian. Some say that the rules might not be hard enough. That's a debate that we need to have, and we need to practice our First Amendment right and not be afraid to speak up, like I'm doing right now. So, seriously, we got to find some help, guys. If you're needing help, find help. We got to thwart these cartels, because they're probably not even supposed to be here. They're probably not here legally. That's a whole other subject for another time. But it just gets me riled up how it's such a bad problem that needs to be taken care of. So, I'm just crazy, guys. We need help. Objectivity. What is objectivity? The definition of objectivity is a noun that means a lack of bias, judgment, or prejudice. Maintaining one's objectivity is the most important job of a judge within law. Okay, great, I'm glad. Because you don't want your judge that's judging you to have a bias against you, your lifestyle, your looks, your whatever you got going on. You want the law to be as objective as possible. Now, the reason I'm bringing it up is I'm going to come back to this subject matter because I consider it to be important. It is a philosophical term to be objective or have objectivity, something that's like tangible within truth. And I consider truth to be a real tangible thing. For example, you're watching me. I exist. I'm holding an iPad. I'm wearing sunglasses. I'm in my studio apartment. All these things are true. And so if one thing is true in existence, in reality, then there's probably many other things that are true in existence, in reality. And so I consider it our responsibility as humans to find more truth, to seek out more truth. You want to find out what is true so that you can hold on to it, which will help other truths be found. So I also bring it up because it's not being promoted in our schools. I don't see a lot of teachers being objective. I see them being very biased towards the president, or they want to be part of the union, and then they don't want to have like a non-union type of situation. They discriminate against the other teachers that aren't in the teachers' union. And so you're going to be teaching with a bias. You're going to be molding young minds with a bias. Well, Matt, there's no such thing as a human that doesn't have a bias. Yes, but if we don't strive for objectivity, you're not doing your job right if you're a teacher, if you're an attorney, if you're a cop. Seriously, if you're in a place of authority where you're helping society being molded, it's really you want to strive for objectivity so that you don't really put that much of yourself into the situation. Now, if you're raising kids, by all means, that's your responsibility to raise them as you see fit. And because you're trying to mold society in that particular direction, and that's a big responsibility, yes. But when you're over the masses by being a judge, a teacher, or even a coach of a football team, you want to be as objective as possible so that you can be as clear-minded as possible. You can talk about truth. You can talk about facts as much as possible. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 will always equal 4. That is a math fact. That is an objective math fact. And so sometimes when I get stressed out and I lose my cool, I like to look at the clock. Why? Because the clock has a second hand. And it goes around in that particular segment of time continually and utterly. And then it's an objective truth. You can't change that. And I hold on to that, and it grounds me emotionally, and it grounds me in a way where I can understand other concepts, or I'm able to process heavier subject matters. When things get a little too crazy, whether you're fighting with loved ones, whether you lost your job, whether or super elated things, you just had a birth of a child, or you just got married, whatever the case may be, it's good to ground yourself in truth. It's good to ground yourself in objectivity so that you can move forward in a clear-minded way. So I promote being objective as much as possible, and I promote just being truthful as much as possible, because there's no such thing as moral relativism, because morals are a thing we need to hold on to and find. You need to have your own morals, individually, microly, macroly. As a society, we need to have goals that we strive for. We need to have a goal that we strive for that's a moral goal, that's an ethical goal. Because otherwise we're just kind of floundering, and if my truth is not your truth, then we're gonna have to have that conversation until our face turns blue. Because if we understand that evil is evil and good is good, and we can as a society discuss those matters, then we're gonna be able to build society and hold on to what we have. Because we don't want it to crumble, guys. We don't want to be part of the problem, we wanna be part of the solution. So that said, objectivity is real, it's a real tangible thing we need to find, and I promote you finding it yourself. There's weed killer in your cereal. I don't know if anybody heard about this, but it started to blow up all over the internet on many different types of websites, which is very fascinating. So let's read the article here, the one that I found that I like. Significant levels of weed-killing chemical glyphosate have been found in an array of popular breakfast cereals, oats, and snack bars marketed to U.S. children, a new study has found. Tests reveal glyphosate, the active ingredient in the popular weed killer Roundup, present in all but 2 of the 45 oat-derived products that were sampled by the Environmental Working Group, a public health organization. Nearly 3 in 4 of the products exceeded what the EWG classes as safe for children to consume, meaning there are certain levels of poison it's okay for children to consume. I can go on about that. Goodness gracious. Products with some of the highest levels of glyphosate include granola, oats, and snack bars made from leading industry names Quaker, Kellogg's, and General Mills, which make Cheerios. Come on, guys. One sample of Quaker old-fashioned oats measured at more than 1 part per million of glyphosate. Ridiculous. Whew. This is still within safe levels deemed by the Environmental Protection Agency, although it is currently working on an updated assessment. You think you should? Goodness gracious. The EWG said the federal limits are outdated. Of course they are. And that most of the product is tested exceeded a more stringent definition of safe glyphosate levels. I mean, this is just epic. And so that there's some lack of regulation. There's some so it's like unfettered capitalism. I'm a capitalist, but when you have unfettered capitalism without morals and ethics, you start to put poison and any amounts of it in people's food. They're not purposely putting poison in people's food. Well, if you know that glyphosate is a carcinogen, with any carcinogens or chemicals that cause cancer, and you're spraying this Roundup on crops that are eventually going to become food. And you're just using it no holds barred because you want to make sure there's no bugs on your crops, of course you're putting poison in the food. Yeah, come on, guys, let's use some logic here. It's ridiculous. The findings follow a landmark decision in San Francisco court last week to order the Monsanto to pay $289 million in damages to a gentleman named Dwayne Johnson, a 46-year-old former groundskeeper. A jury deemed that Monsanto's Roundup weed killer caused Johnson's cancer and that it had failed to warn him about the health risks and exposure. Monsanto, which said that it will appeal against the verdict, of course they will, it's American law, has said glyphosate has been used safely for decades. In 2015, the EPA said that glyphosate has low toxicity for people but could cause problems for some pets if they consume the chemical. However, the World Health Organization has called glyphosate a probable carcinogen. And authorities in California list it as a chemical known to state the cause of cancer. Ridiculous. In April, internal emails obtained from the Food and Drug Administration showed that scientists have found glyphosate on a wide range of commonly consumed food to the point that they were finding it difficult to identify a food without the chemical on it. Woo! Ridiculous. The FDA has yet to release any official results from this process. Lobbyists. There was no indication that the claims related the product to blah, 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 blah. There's poison in your food, guys, okay? And I recommend trying to find non-GMO foods that are extremely organic, truly organic. They have the cool symbol on the bottom to make sure that Monsanto's dirty fingers didn't touch it and to make sure it wasn't used with glyphosate and other carcinogen-causing pesticides. Now, there are natural pesticides out there. You don't have to use Roundup on your garden. You don't have to use Roundup on your lawn. There's other things you can do. Research it yourself. That's not what this segment's about. I'm just worked up about it because I don't want to be poisoning. You see how many babies are at restaurants eating Cheerios? You see how many babies are and little kids? I just had a granola bar the other day. I was hungry. It was from Quaker Oats. There was glyphosate on that on the candy bar. Of course it was. It had too much sugar in it, but it was a granola bar. Okay, guys? Seriously. No, I'm not going to stop eating food in general, but I'm going to be more aware of what I'm putting in my mouth. And you should be too. Today in history, 1896, gold was discovered in the Yukon. While salmon fishing near Klondike River in Canada's Yukon Territory on this day in 1896, George Carmack reportedly spots nuggets of gold in a creek bed. His lucky discovery sparks the last great gold rush in the American West. Hoping to cash in on reported gold strikes in Alaska, Carmack had traveled there from California in 1881. After running into a dead end, he headed north into the isolated Yukon Territory, just across the Canadian border. In 1896, another prospector, Robert Henderson, told Carmack of finding gold in a tributary of the Klondike River. Carmack headed to the region with two Native American companions known as Skookum Jim and Tagish Charlie. Great names. On August 16th, while camping near Rabbit Creek, Carmack reportedly spotted a nugget of gold jutting out from the creek bank. His two companions later agreed Skookum Jim, Carmack's brother-in-law, actually made the discovery. Regardless of who spotted the gold first, the three men soon found that the rock near the creek bed was thick with gold deposits. Cha-ching! They staked their claim the following day. News of the gold strike spread across Canada and the United States, and over the next 2 years, as many as 50,000 would-be miners arrived in the region. Rabbit Creek was renamed Bonanza, and even more gold was discovered in another Klondike tributary dubbed El Dorado. Klondike fever reached its height in the United States in mid-July 1897 when two steamships arrived from the Yukon in San Francisco and Seattle, bringing a total number that's a lot of gold. A total number of 2 tons of gold. 2 tons of gold! That's incredible. Thousands of eager young men bought elaborate Yukon outfits that were, kits assembled by clever marketers of the time, and set out on their way north. Few of these would find what they were looking for, as most of the land of the region had already been claimed One of the unsuccessful gold seekers was 21-year-old Jack London, whose short stories, based on his Klondike experience, became his first book, The Son of the Wolf, in 1900. For his part, Carmack became rich off this discovery, leaving the Yukon with $1 million, back then that's a ridiculous amount of money, worth of gold. Many individual gold miners and prospectors in the Klondike region eventually sold their stake to mining companies who had the resources and machinery to access more gold. Large-scale mining in the Yukon Territory didn't end until 1966, and by that time the region had yielded some $250 million in gold. Today, some 200 small gold mines operate in the region. There's gold in them hills! All right, you Americans out there. Let's see here. On the National Day calendar, it's August 16th. National Roller Coaster Day. Celebrate by getting on a roller coaster. Now, I don't have the ability right now or the time to get on a roller coaster. If you're listening to this podcast or watching this video, you might be on a roller coaster right now. But I'm going to think of it more of like a metaphysical roller coaster called life. The ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, the loop-de-loops. Just stay grounded. Don't get on your emotional roller coaster, but celebrate National Roller Coaster Day. Research roller coasters. Watch a YouTube video about roller coasters. Watch a documentary about roller coasters. Watch a GoPro video with someone with a roller coaster with a camera on their head, you know, while they're on a roller coaster. It's also National Airborne Day. Not airborne, the supplement you take before you get on a plane. No, airborne, like you're in a plane, jumping out of a plane. So celebrate National Airborne Day by saluting and thanking your local paratrooping team. I've never jumped out of a plane, but I have some buddies that are in the military, and I don't know if any of them are going to be paratroopers. But it's National Airborne Day, so celebrate by supporting our troops. And it's National Airborne Day once again, so just get the word out there. It's good to get airborne. I'm going to jump out of a plane eventually, and hopefully you do too. It's also National Rum Day. National Rum Day. Rum affects me a little, crazily. It's really sugary because it's made from cane sugar. But there's all kinds of drinks you can make with rum. My favorite rum drink is pina colada. Pina colada is fantastic. I like virgin pina coladas as well. I've made pina colada pancakes, which are really good. Yes, you use, you make pancake batter with Jiffy Quick, and you put some, you can put coconut and pineapple and some pina colada mix within the batter itself. Not too much, it'll thin it out. But you make pina colada pancakes. But it's National Rum Day, so drink a Rum Runner or a Sex on the Beach, or there's many cocktails you can drink with rum. There's different classifications of rum. You can also celebrate Rum Day by Captain Morganing something or someone. So if you're outside, lift your leg up, I'm Captain Morganing my show right now. So if you love rum, comment down below. If you don't love rum, comment down below. Just let me know. It's National Rum Day, guys. So celebrate by drinking rum. This one's to you on this national day. And so to review, it's National Roller Coaster Day, National Airborne Day, and National Rum Day. This next segment of the show is by Brain Force. Brain Force is a neural activator. You can get it on InfoWarsStore.com. I highly recommend Brain Force. It's fantastic. It's my favorite supplement. I like to go fast. I like to think hard. And Brain Force gets that job done. When you're kind of in a slump, take some Brain Force and it'll pick you up. I've reduced my coffee intake. I've reduced my caffeine intake because of Brain Force. And I'm really thankful for Brain Force. You can also use it as an instrument, and keep the beat kind of like an egg. But you can only do that when you have a full bottle. I currently have a full bottle of Brain Force because it just came in the mail from InfoWarsStore.com. Weird news. Today in weird news, stone-throwing poltergeist plagues Romanian village. A community in Romania is on edge following an odd series of events involving what some believe to be a poltergeist that is pelting a home with stones. The strangeness reportedly began early this month in the village of Sohotu, Romania, at around midnight. a house began being struck by stones thrown by an unseen force. The pelting continued well into the night and then occurred again during the same time frame for a whopping 9 days straight. The weirdness eventually caught the attention of a Romanian TV station who visited the village in an attempt to get to the bottom of this bizarre mystery. According to a translation of the segment, one of the local residents lamented that it throws stones all night long. It doesn't leave us alone a little bit. Not even for half an hour. That's weird. Let's see. And the unrelenting pelting has been keeping everyone in the neighborhood up all night. Attempts to have the police intervene in the matter have proven fruitless, as the stone throwing apparently continued to occur even when the officers were on the scene. That's wild. That's absolutely wild. Although the witness indicated that it initially suspected the cause of the commotion was a troublesome child in the community, his opinion has since changed because of how the stone throwing has gone on, as well as the fact that it also keeps happening when the police arrive and are present on the scene and could not catch any culprit. Very weird. Therefore, the homeowner has reluctantly concluded that some kind of supernatural force is behind the events. However, I can read, guys, and migraines help you read better. No, they don't. A continuant of the people in the village, the contentment of the village of the people haven't been met because they can't figure out what's going on. It's loud. It's happening all night, including the mayor. Argue that it has to be a person pelting the home with stones because, in their minds, poltergeists don't exist. Well, I mean, like, you can believe in poltergeists or not believe in poltergeists, but, you know, something's happening that's really weird. At this point, the annoyed residents appear to be less interested in what exactly is throwing the stones and more concerned with simply getting it to stop. To that end, they've enlisted the help of a priest to come and bless the house in the hopes of eradicating whatever spirit or whatever thing may be behind the eerie incidents. For their sake, we hope the proverbial divine intervention is successful, since one can only imagine how maddening it must be to hear the constant banging of rocks being thrown on the side of your house all night for days upon end. Guys, that's ridiculous. It's weird. That was today in Weird News. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. This was the Matthew Rayburn Show. Rest in peace, Aretha Franklin.